We finish our Christmas sermon series this morning, a sermon series entitled Let Nothing You Affright, Tidings of Comfort and Joy, a sermon series that considered the tidings of comfort and joy that the angels brought to various people surrounding the birth of Jesus. And we finish off this sermon series this morning with a sermon entitled Fear Not, God Defeats Death. Now, in the book Risen, 50 Reasons Why the Resurrection Changed Everything, the authors discuss the word fulfill. And they discuss that word fulfill in light of two passages in the New Testament. The first is Luke 24:44, where Jesus says these words to a couple disciples on the road to Emmaus. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. The authors of Risen also discuss a second passage, 1 Corinthians 15:4, where Paul writes that he, that is Jesus, was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, these words of the authors in regards to fulfillment help us, I think, understand this sermon better. They say this about the word fulfillment. We must recognize that the term fulfill refers to more than mere predictions that literally take place at a later point in time. While it can have this meaning, fulfill often refers to the way in which a later event brings out the full significance of a previous statement, event, or prophecy. And in this final sermon series, our final sermon of our Christmas series, we will see that the fear nots of the resurrection fulfill the fear nots of the incarnation. That is, the resurrection of Jesus brings out the full significance of the previous fear not statements that surround the birth of Jesus that we have considered over the last 4 weeks. Our passage this morning is from Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. And as we read that together, I encourage you to make the connection of the angels speaking tidings of fear not or do not be afraid. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." We are going to consider this morning how each of the fear nots that we have looked at in this sermon series over the last 4 weeks, how those fear nots are fulfilled, that is, brought to a fuller significance by the fear nots of the resurrection. Looking again at the tidings from these angels in these different situations. So let's begin with the very first sermon we heard from Barry Usher, Fear Not, God Knows What He Was Doing. Part of the passage that Barry preached from was Luke 1:13, but the angel said to him, that is Zechariah, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." We went on to look at that passage, and Barry taught us how God's sovereignty, that is, his power and his authority, as displayed in redemption history in general, but specifically as displayed in John the Baptist's birth, that sovereignty, that power, and that authority are an encouragement to us to fear not. God's sovereign power and sovereign authority are fulfilled, that is, they're seen in fuller significance in regards to Jesus' earthly ministry when we also consider the fear not of the resurrection. We read in Romans chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, these words: Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. The resurrection was the event in history by which the Holy Spirit declared and established the Son of God in power, which was power that, as renowned Romans commentator John Murray notes, surpassed everything that could previously be ascribed to him in his incarnate state and was a new phase of lordship and glory. You see, the resurrection brought fuller significance. It brought fulfillment to God's sovereignty, which in his birth reminded us to fear not. We see that sovereignty coming to fuller expression in the resurrection. That is, Jesus is exalted to a greater level of power and authority than he previously had. He was declared to be the Son of God in power. The "do not be afraid" spoken by the angel to the women at the tomb and really by Jesus as they left the tomb, connects us to the "do not be afraid" statements the angels made at the birth of Jesus. And this connection brings fulfillment. It helps us to see the fulfillment of the birth. Thus, even as the sovereign power and sovereign authority of God at the birth of Jesus dispels our fears, we're made to focus and think about how much more the power and authority of the risen Son crushes our concerns. The fear not of the resurrection fulfills the fear not of the incarnation. The sovereignty of God dispels our fears. We saw that in his birth. We see it more clearly in his resurrection. Let's move on to this second sermon that Reese Plant preached several weeks ago. Fear not, God came near. Part of the passage that he preached from can be seen in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 12. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." The coming near of God in the birth of Christ the Lord is yet another reason why the birth of Jesus encourages us not to be afraid. And the fuller significance of his coming near can also be seen in the resurrection. Now, the glory of God coming near is a profound mystery, something that we can study all of our lives. And in fact, it explodes in its significance as we consider that the birth of Jesus actually initiated his earthly working. His earthly working as God's Savior and his earthly working of God's salvation. Because it's through that salvation that we experience his nearness. And that nearness is so intimate that theologians over history have described it as union with Christ. Union with Christ refers to the inseparable connection we have with Christ that occurred at our conversion, such that it can be said that we are in Christ and that Christ is in us. What an amazing and glorious truth. And what a fear-destroying truth that is. Now, this union of God and us that came out of the coming near of God to people at the birth of Jesus, again, the significance of it is amplified in the resurrection of Jesus. It's amplified by the fact that Jesus destroyed death. We see this in Romans chapter 6, verses 5 and verse 8. We read these words again from the Apostle Paul. For if we have been united with him, that is Jesus, in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And then verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. God coming near in the birth of Jesus dispels our fears. God came to earth as a man, and we could say he set up shop in our midst. And that is meant to and certainly should embolden us. But we also know that the birth of Jesus led to the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And those things made a way for our union with him such that it is almost an unexplainable closeness and intimacy we now have with God. Now that is reason for courage. And the knowledge of our certain resurrection, due to our being united with Christ in his resurrection, disarms and destroys our fears. We become, because of the death and resurrection of Christ, through the nearness of God in union with Jesus, we become what we could say indestructible. The fact that we are indestructible eternally should dispel our fears. In fact, when I think of that word indestructible, the phrase let nothing you affright is something I heartily agree with. And so we see that the fear nots of the death and the resurrection of Jesus continue to fulfill the fear nots of his birth. The same is true for the third sermon, where we looked at God working wonders. That sermon came from Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 33. And the angel said to her, that is Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, in this third sermon of the series, I spoke about the wonder-working God. And I said this, I said, God worked the wonder of the virgin birth so that Jesus could work the wonder of conquering our greatest fears. Now, not having prepared this sermon, I understand now that I got a little bit ahead of myself. Because we talked about how the Bible describes death as our greatest fear, a fear that enslaves all mankind. However, the fear-smashing wonder of God's working in the virgin birth is only deepened and intensified in and through God working the wonder of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The New Testament goes on to speak about the work of wonder that the resurrection is. For example, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 20, we read these words of Paul to the church in Ephesus. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. The power of God is magnified in our sight as we consider the resurrection. The power of God that worked wonders in the birth of Christ continues to work wonders in the death and resurrection of Christ. The resurrection and ascension of Jesus was a work of wonder demonstrating the great might of God, which results in hope and a glorious inheritance and his power in us. The resurrection of Jesus confirms that the wonder-working God works in power for us in the salvation that Jesus accomplished. This is one more fear-fighting truth of the gospel. One more fear-fighting truth that is evident in the birth of Christ that gains more significance as we consider the resurrection of Christ. The fear not in the birth of Christ because of the wonder-working power of God is amplified as we consider God defeating death through Jesus Christ and his resurrection. The work of wonder that God performed in the virgin birth is reason for us to not fear. And the work of wonder that God performed in the resurrection is yet another dazzling display of his power that further persuades us not to be afraid. Last week, our sermon was Fear Not, God Saves Us from Sin. It comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, with the angel bringing tidings of comfort and joy to Joseph, as well as the admonition to fear not. Here's what verse 20 and 21 say, "But as he, Joseph, considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" The admonitions that we have considered over the past month to fear not, to not be afraid, to let nothing you affright, are inextricably connected to the birth of Jesus, which we celebrate at Christmas time. As we talked about in that sermon, the reason that is the case is because Jesus was born to save us. He was born to die for us that he might save us. And he accomplished that for which he was born. This in itself was a fatal blow to our fears. Salvation from sin won at the cross was, we could say, a death blow for our fears. And then as we look to the resurrection, we see that it fulfills what Jesus' birth and life and death accomplished. We read in Acts 13, verses 36 through 38, "For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he, Jesus, whom God raised up, did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you." We have learned as we read Scripture, when we see the word therefore, to ask the question, what is the therefore, therefore? The therefore in this last verse, verse 38, is pointing back to the fact that God raised up Jesus and that Jesus did not see corruption. It's because of that, brothers, that forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And so, we've considered the fact that our fears are conquered because our sins are forgiven. That's what the death of Christ accomplished. That's why he was born, the purpose for him coming. But these verses and Acts point to the truth that the authors of Risen note, quote, "While the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ were separate events, they are inseparable elements when it comes to providing forgiveness for our sins." We need to understand that, that apart from the resurrection, our sins would not be forgiven. Jesus' resurrection builds on that fortification against fear that the forgiveness of sins built. Because Jesus' resurrection is evidence that Jesus' sacrifice was accepted by God and that Jesus has the power and authority to forgive the sins of his people. Paul states the negative truth of this, the negative truth of the necessity of the resurrection for the forgiveness of sins in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. where he says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." Apart from the resurrection of Christ, we are not saved from our sins. The fear-smashing power of the fear not in regards to Christ's birth and our salvation from sin doesn't come into effect if he isn't resurrected from the dead. So thus we see that the resurrection of Jesus is a fulfillment of the fear not admonitions around his birth. The do not be afraid exhortation that is built on the birth of the one who saves from sin is enhanced and expanded by the resurrection of that one. We've considered over the past several weeks that Jesus' birth shouts an encouraging fear not to his people. Now let us understand this morning that Jesus' resurrection echoes and amplifies that encouragement. His resurrection from the dead is the fulfillment of all that his birth laid out before us, particularly in regards to not fearing. With that in mind, I want to finish this morning with a few points of application. As we come to the end of 2020, and there are many people who will be happy to see it in the rearview mirror, nevertheless, at year end, we find ourselves with time to reflect and to resolve. Reflecting and resolving at year end is something that we have regularly done throughout our lives. And I want to encourage you to do that in regards to this sermon series at this year's end as well. I'd like you to consider starting by reflecting on your fears over the past year. What fears did you entertain this year? What impact did those fears have on your life? What impact did they have on the decisions you made or didn't make? What impact did it have on your relationship with others? And reflect how badly you would like to be freed from those fears. And as you reflect on the fears of this past year, reflect on Jesus. Don't stop by mulling over the fears and leaving it at that. That's not what I'm encouraging you to do this morning. I'm encouraging you to reflect on the fears of the past year and move from that to reflect on Jesus. Reflect on the ministry of Christ from so many years ago that spanned from his birth to Mary, from his, even before that, his conception by the Spirit, his taking on flesh and becoming a man, all the way through his life and his death and his resurrection. Reflect on that. Study it and savor it and see in it the fear-crushing power that it has. If you are a believer, you believe those things to be true. And if those things are true, then the admonition, do not fear, do not be afraid, let nothing you affright, is something you can apply to your life. Reflect on your fears from the past years and reflect on Jesus. I know there may be people watching today who don't consider themselves a Christian, who haven't ever really reflected on who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, but I want to encourage you at the end of this year to do precisely that, to consider the fact that though we were rebels because of our sin, though we had rejected God, the human race had turned from their Creator. God sent his Son to become a man, and he was born of a virgin, and he lived his life among us. And in his living, he was perfectly obedient to God, fulfilling all those things we were meant to fulfill. But in order to save us, he died on the cross as the payment and penalty for our sins. But he didn't remain dead. God raised him up from death. He defeated death. He defeated death that for those who would repent of their sins and believe in him would be forgiven. And what's more, they would be promised eternal life just like him. As we talk about fighting fear as believers, if you're an unbeliever, you have to know that it is not because of anything within us. It is not from some courage that we work up in ourselves, but rather it's because we know through Christ our sins have been forgiven and we will live eternally with him. If you don't know Christ, I would encourage you to reflect on Jesus this morning and consider turning from your sin and believing in him. Finally, this morning, after we have reflected on our fears of the past year, and we've reflected on Jesus, particularly his earthly ministry, all that he did while he was here, then I think we can bring this to fruition by making some resolutions. And one resolution you might make at the end of this year is to resolve not to fear. Resolve not to fear whatever it is that comes your way. Perhaps you're in the middle of it right now. Certainly there are many in our congregation who are in the middle of those things even as we speak. But this morning you can resolve to not fear. And that resolve can be based on our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, whose birth we just celebrated, whose life was lived in perfect obedience to God, who was killed for our sins on a cross, but whom God raised from the dead. The great truth of that resurrection is that it connects the fear nots of his birth and everything in his earthly ministry and amplifies the truth that because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we need not fear. God is sovereign. He has come near and he lives within us. He still works wonders and he still forgives sins. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Matthew's telling of the resurrection story and the fear nots that we hear from the angel and from Jesus himself that connect the story to the fear nots of his birth. And Father God, as we have considered these fear nots and considered you and your Son and what your Son did for our salvation, we, Father, see good reason not to fear. But Father God, to apply those things to our lives, we need your help. We need your Spirit to help us. I pray, Father God, as this year comes to an end, that with your Spirit's help, we will reflect on the fears we wrestled with this year. We will consider the impact they had. We will consider how wonderful and beautiful being free from those fears could be. And Father God, we will move directly to reflect on Jesus, to certainly reflect on his birth at this time of year, but also his life and his death and his glorious resurrection, which fulfilled all that we have considered over the past several weeks. And Father God, having reflected on those things, we pray that your Spirit would help us to resolve not to fear in 2021, but to put our trust in our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen.